Welcome to episode 11 of Bedtime Stories for Grown-Ups, a podcast that is created from the stuff of dreams. Once upon a time, if you were lucky, someone told you bedtime stories. Maybe someone read you books, or the same favorite book over and over. Or maybe someone made up your bedtime stories, telling you nonsensical things until you closed your eyes and let sleep take you away. These bedtime stories are the whimsical, made-up kind. Little scenes from dreamland to guide you there. There is no plot to follow, no sense to make of anything, just a sequence of images from beyond the consciousness of day to help you let go and drift into dreamland. We were walking along a green pathway through the city. There was an eagle soaring overhead, which was a good sign. There was a couple walking in front of us who kept stashing their baby in the bushes. Why were they doing that? It was dangerous. We were thinking of calling them out on it, but it wasn't really any of our business. Then we came upon the baby again, tucked away under some bushes just off the trail. And we noticed there were a bunch of coyote pups approaching. So we sat down in front of the sleeping baby, surrounded by coyote pups who were behaving kind of like foxes. They were curious but shy, and they were gently nipping at our arms and hands. Eventually, the baby's parents returned, and they just laughed about all the coyotes surrounding us and the baby, and they retrieved their baby and went on their way, without so much as a thank you or even a backward glance. We had been hired by the royal family. We were not quite sure what the job was going to entail, but it definitely required doing a lot of research and confidentiality, of course. We discovered that the royals liked to sleep in and to take long naps in the afternoon. There was trouble brewing in paradise for one of the couples. They were not sharing the same wing of the palace anymore. In fact, it had become rather acrimonious. They had some nice dogs that had the run of the place, going from room to room and running up to us to be pet once in a while. The dogs were nice, as long as they didn't wake any of the royals. At some point, we discovered a big stash of very pungent marijuana. Apparently, it belonged to the queen. She rolled herself a big joint and started to pass it around. That was a strange sight indeed. This was our first shift with the royals, and we really wanted to be on the ball. We were also a little concerned about fentanyl. Could it possibly be in the marijuana now, too? We mentioned it, but they seemed to think it was fine. They had some pretty reliable sources. We are dropping off or picking up a small boy in a part of the city that we do not know. We have been invited inside to wait. It is a very ancient building. It might have once been a palace. A big, wide stone staircase leads up to a pair of massive doors. We are wondering if these people might be involved in some sort of illicit activity. Should we even be leaving the boy here? Once inside, we are astonished at the beautiful view of the water and the whitewashed houses clinging to the cliffs across the way. It looks just like the pictures of the Greek islands that we have seen in the tourist brochures. We are taken out on a boat from a dock that adjoins the living room. It really is beautiful. The swarthy young man who is giving us the boat tour is smoking cigarettes and seems quite bored with us and with the stunning surroundings. We are inside a smart house. We are talking to each other through our phones, even though we are all in the same room. We are getting a demonstration of how the smart house works. They are having conversations with all of the appliances and telling the lights to get brighter and then to dim. Now they are asking for chalk to be blown into the air so that it looks like we are inside a snow globe. The people sitting on the sofa are getting covered in white chalk dust. Is it really okay for us to be breathing this stuff in? The children look so much older now. What happened? Some of them cannot walk, and some are in full body casts. One of the older girls is putting on an aging movie star diva act from her bed, and it is quite funny and we all laugh. We seem to be dealing with the aftermath of some kind of disaster, some kind of catastrophe. We are all rather cheerful and good-natured about everything, though. We seem to be dealing with it very well. Or maybe we are just still in shock. Some guy went off and left his baby with us. So now we have two babies to look after. You forget that you have to watch them all the time at this age. This new baby, there seemed to be something wrong with her. Her eyes didn't stop moving, and they did not move at the same time or in the same direction. She was the size of a toddler, but the guy who'd left her behind had said she was only 7 weeks old. That doesn't make any sense. She is much too big for a 7-week-old. Is there anyone around here who can breastfeed this baby? It's too soon for a nap. Maybe we should let her play for a while. who has gone off with all of the dolls. We go to the market to buy some baby bottles and milk. Hopefully someone else is watching the babies. The marketplace is getting a fresh coat of paint. And there is a large throbbing lump of paint in the very center of it. It looks like a sickly beating heart. We adopted the baby, and she became a going concern. Before we knew it, she had become an artist. An artist and a writer. We are confused, because she seems older than us now. It is quite unusual to adopt someone who is older than you. Someone is explaining that she just grew up very quickly. And we had adopted her because she didn't have anyone else when she was an oversized baby with googly eyes. Her work is very interesting. She starts with real photographs and still images from films. And then she paints absurd cartoon characters on them. The work is quite effective. Though we don't quite understand why. Someone we know passed away in a hospital, and we have come to fetch the ashes. There are some flowers and cards, and a stuffed animal to pick up as well. We don't know what to do with the ashes. Why don't we sprinkle some in the water where we like to swim in the summertime? Who knows what we will discover when the tide goes out? Why don't we sprinkle the ashes everywhere? We can carry them around with us and sprinkle ashes here and there, wherever we go. Everyone likes this idea, and now it has become something of a trend. These days, everyone is carrying around the ashes of the dead and sprinkling them everywhere. There was a big dog named Glow. He was the one with the glowing white fur. He was waiting patiently outside the window and hiding a much smaller dog underneath his long white fur. There were wild boys running around trying to set fire to everything. "Hey, you boys, get out of there." We had to shoo the wild boys away. They ran off with all of the horses. And now the horses are running free out in the fields. We will have to catch the lead mares to entice them all back. Maybe the snow will encourage them to seek the shelter of the barn. We might as well leave the barn doors open now. We are watching a musical theater performance in a bar. The story is about a love triangle, as these stories often are. A friend of ours is playing the female lead, and she has a racy musical scene in the shower with one of the love interests. They are still in rehearsals, but the bar is open. And everybody is cheering them on. It looks like the show will be a big hit. We are still a little taken aback that they are going ahead with the shower scene in such an intimate venue. Now they are breaking out into song again. It is a well-known French tune that we cannot quite remember the name of. We are in Spain. It is so beautiful here. We are driving along a road that sweeps so close past the ocean's edge that the waves wash right over the road, and you have to time the driving just right so that you don't get swept out to sea. We can see that there is a vernacular which goes straight up to the top of the mountain. A friend of ours is looking for a house near the mountain, and she wants us to come with her. The side of the house that is renovated is very nice and sunny, but there is also a dark side to the house. The original living area is dark and gloomy, and the door has been sealed shut because it had been kicked in by a neighbor's son who was angry that he had recently lost a public debate. He had come around and kicked the door in and then done unspeakable things to the furniture. No. Don't go any closer. We couldn't get out of there fast enough. There was a swimming pool on one side of the house. This was a dead-end swimming pool. The kind of swimming pool that if you went in, you could never come out. We got a phone call. The house was on fire. It had started in the backyard fort, and it was about to spread to the house. We heard a siren, but they were going to a fentanyl overdose. We would have to wait for the next fire truck. There were people caught on the roof. We didn't know how to get them down. For some reason, in order to save them, we had to cut off our arms. Just after we cut off our arms, the firemen arrived and put the fire out, and it did not spread to the main house after all. Everyone was fine. But now we have no arms. What have we done? What were we thinking? Why was that necessary? We have really compromised ourselves here. We are not sure how we will be able to swim without arms. And then somehow, we have grown our arms and hands back. Just like that. Of course we have. Because this is a dream we are wandering around in. We saw a family flying through the air. The toddler was having a bit of a tantrum, and then he suddenly dropped out of the sky. But thankfully, he was attached to his dad by rope, so his fall was stopped after about 10 feet. Still, it was an alarming sight when it happened. They swooped over our heads in their blue flying suits and landed in a nearby field. We went to see if they were all right. There was a whole group of flying families camping there, and there were rows upon rows of blue flying suits hanging up to dry. This was a troop that was visiting from Germany or somewhere, and everyone was fine. If you are not careful, your bed can become possessed and start whipping around your bedroom like a spinning ride at a fair. You will be held down by unseen forces like gravity and powerless to stop it. If you do eventually get control of your body and get your voice back, whatever you do, don't go looking into a mirror, because you might find that your hair has gone gray and your life has passed you by, if you are even still there at all. Thank you for listening. Sweet dreams.